Hey, it's Russ Bain with Roleplaying Public Radio. This is Game Designers Workshop, Labyrinths of Lost Futures, which is the title of the game I'm currently working on. And I have been sort of teasing it a little bit on the RPPR Patreon, and we'll get into all that. But with me is Caleb. How you doing, Caleb?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for the acronym LOLF. All the kids are going to love saying LOLF online when this gets released.
I know. It does sound vaguely dirty, which is probably good for marketing, you know. Oh, that's a LOLF.
How dare you say that to me?
So, before we get into it, Caleb, what's been going on in, like, Dead Channels?
I just released a new playtest scenario that ties in with the Labyrinth set in Hawaii. So that is fun. I'm having fun playtesting that with some people. And then Ross joined Bridget Faye and I for another entry in the Two Friendlies Delta Green universe.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
So we're having a good time playing through that as well.
So. Yeah. We'll have a link to Delta Green Dead Channel. So if you want more Caleb Delta Green actual play goodness, or is it just the actual plays, or are there other things on there?
The playtest scenario, if you want to play the rejection scenario, the playtest draft, you can. It's all up there, all the characters, everything.
So you want your Delta Green fix. Right now we're doing Warhammer Imperium Maledictum, and
I am not doing
one. It's Savage Drifts on RPPR actual play. We'll get back to Delta Green, but you know, after doing a big long campaign last year, you know, Possible Landscapes, I wanted to try some other games for a while. But
must be nice.
You could join us in Savage Drifts if you want.
Oh, I'm good.
It's a different system this time.
It's still Rifts.
You could be the pizza wizard, probably.
I'm good. Okay. I'm fine. All right. I'm okay over here.
And in other news, the Night Clerk zine, which I launched on BackerKit last year, will be on DriveThruRPG by the time you listen to this, maybe itch.io. I'm looking into ways to sell the print version of it, but it has been mailed out. All the print versions for backers of the campaign should have all their copies are in the mail. So if it doesn't get to you, let me know. But like, I have mailed them all near and far. And it wouldn't be an RPPR podcast without the electric kettle going off.
Yep.
I always forget about that. If you miss the backer kit, you can get the PDF at least. As it's a fun scenario, people so far have all liked it. So,
it's a very pretty book.
Yay.
And by book, I mean zine.
Yeah. It's just another way to hold all them words and pictures.
Book-a-zine.
There we go. On the custom forums for, when I sent the ones to Europe, I listed it as a magazine because, it basically is.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah, it's a tiny magazine. I started working on this game last year, and I didn't know what to call it. So for like last year, it was the Vaporwave / Hauntology RPG. And I've done several, three play tests so far, three or four. But I finally, in the last couple of months, I have figured out a name, Labyrinths of Lost Futures. I have been very inspired by the New School Renaissance, which are games like Merkborg, Frontier Scum, Mouse Ritter, games that are rules light but still very well done, and also have a really strong aesthetic, like a visual aesthetic. Like Merkborg is obviously the strongest of them, you know, in terms of the art style and everything. But like Merkborg rules are pretty good, actually. Like I've run it before; it's been a fun game, So I wanted to do what, you know, Merkborg did for metal, but for Vaporwave / Barber Beats, and just be sort of looking at some of the themes I've been, you know, thinking a lot, you know, for the last couple of years because of Night Clerk Radio, you know, Hauntology, and also to explore like rules like dungeon crawling / action that's not tied to fantasy tropes. So Labyrinth of the Lost Future is like a modern day setting, but like characters are made easily and they get weird. They can get weird unnatural powers. But it's, you know, something, you can, try out with, like anything that you can place in the modern world. So things like the back rooms or SCP, or, but without like, like modern horror RPGs are often get, you know, pretty rules heavy, or they get incredibly rules light. Like it's, you know, Delta Green or Cthulhu Dark. And I kind of want to hit a middle ground in between that. And also not just cover horror too, but any kind of like weird, you know, modern fantasy or magical realism or, you know, anything like that. So, that's sort of the basic, idea of it. Now, one of the things I want to do is also, I really like dungeons as just an RPG concept. And I really like the idea of a mega dungeon. You know, we've been doing a review of, Stonehell, which is a fantasy mega dungeon on the RPPR Patreon. And the thing is, I've looked into other mega dungeons through RPGs, and almost all of them are fantasy, which is probably not a big surprise. Mm-hmm. But like, there are a couple sci-fi ones, like Mothership has Gradient Descent. Have you read that one?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Which is like, you're going in this big installation, this facility with that makes androids, replicants, basically. And like, the further you go in, the more likely you think you have been replaced with a replicant. You know, it's a very fun premise, but like, everything's either fantasy or sci-fi. There's nothing connected to like the real world as a mega dungeon. Like the real world in some ways is antithetical to the mega dungeon.
Environmental storytelling is less engaging when every environment is meant to tell the same story of buy something now, buy it now, buy something, buy it, buy this now, go over here, buy this. Like, yeah. And that is every hallway, road, corridor, room, building, at least in the country I live in. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, there's a lot of interest in like liminal spaces and again, like the back rooms and all these other, you know, haunted and weird places. Like a lot of like actual modern video games have dungeons in them. If you think of like Arkham Asylum, is a Metroidvania type game, and like Metroidvanias as a concept, you know,
Environmental storytelling is a powerful tool to provide the illusion of agency in what is essentially a finite story, which is every game. All games can only be so long and only have so much content. And therefore the freedom of choice in even a TTRPG is limited in a way that if I say on Twitter, people will yell at me. Despite the fact that I could say, I bet I could stump your GM. Like, I bet I could do something they can't come up with. Like, that's what many trayers try and do. Those people are dicks because that's not the social magic circle of an RPG. But when you have an environmental storytelling and there's no like prescribed path or multiple paths or choice points or forks, it gives a lot of agency to the players. And it turns out it's worked for 50 or 60 years because people like that.
I have the elevator pitch for both things. The mega dungeon one is a little long, but like, cause it explains sort of the game design principles, but here's the elevator pitch for the Labyrinth of Lost Future is the game. And then the modern mega dungeon, which is the working title, obviously I don't have like a name for it yet.
But LOLF is its own system.
Yeah. LOLF is its own system. It'll be, D20 based, but, the main combat, like a lot of D20 games now, like Merkborg and Mouse Rider have experimented with sort of the standard paradigm was the D&D. You roll to hit, and then you roll. If you hit, you roll for damage. And games like Frontier Scum, they just, and Mouse Rider just forego the to hit roll. You just roll damage, which is interesting. But like characters also still have like 1d6 hit points, and so they're very fragile. What I'm playtesting right now is a system where you roll to hit and you roll the damage, but you also, through various actions, build up combat dice. Now, combat dice, you can spin them to forego hitting, or you could spin them to do more damage. You could spin them on special maneuvers. So you're building up basically like a meter, and then you can unleash like a combo action. You can like do actions to give your teammates extra combat dice. And instead of having like class powers, a lot of your powers are activated by like what kind of item you're using. Like a shotgun, you know, you can spend combat dice to do way more additional damage, or you can have a fire axe automatically hit and do additional damage, or, you know, so like the idea is, instead of tying things, you like the idea is that you can always roll a D20, but it's a gamble. but like you could then play it safe and just build up combat dice and then automatically hit. And then if you build up enough combat, you can automatically hit and do more damage, or, you know, inflict a status effect on enemies. So like there's that, that's sort of the paradigm is rolling D20s for gambling to take risks, get bigger rewards, but occasionally. So, you know, some players who, I don't know, don't roll very well in a lot of games.
Who would that be?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a hypothetical. They would be able to just focus on combat dice and like being a support player and helping other, you know, building lots of combat dice to pull off a cool thing. And that's where I'm at with playtesting. Obviously, that requires a lot of just running combat after combat to sort of fine tune the numbers. But that's the basic paradigm for it. But then characters would have like, you know, D6 hit points, four attributes, and then like they can get. There would be optional classes like in Merkborg that would have additional powers, you know, like one who's really good at killing, you know, the John Wick one man, kill everybody in a room or whatever. Or you could be the weird cursed person who's doomed to die, have a fate worse than death. But until then, you have some, you know, you can't be killed by mortal means or whatever. You're being turned into a monster, or, you know, you're going to die, but like, you know, it's more the Alan Wake kind of thing, you know. And all characters would have an attribute called attunement, which is their attunement to the unnatural, the, you know, the X factor that makes all the weird shit possible. And for that, I'm going to make a sliding stat. It goes from -3 to +3, and that represents silence versus noise. Now, silence is entropy, oblivion, you know, just fading into nothingness. And so you could, and then noise is, you know, glitching through reality, actively fighting the laws of physics and nature. And if you get too far in either direction, your character is obliterated, but you can use the silence and noise to activate different types of powers. And there'd be like scenario specific effects. Anytime your character dies, you can gain, you would roll, a D3 plus the number of times you previously almost died, and then you could just like avoid that attack. So even though you have like 3 hit points, you can survive multiple lethal attacks because you can keep pushing your
weird unnatural
stuff. Yeah, your attunement stat around. But eventually, you know, your number is going to get so large because you've died so many times, you're just going to automatically die. So that's sort of the. Your characters are very fragile, but still have some survivability. Because I don't like the D&D thing of characters just have a mountain of hit points. And, you know, but I do like things like Frontier Scum, which the weird Western game where the first anytime you get attacked in combat, you can say it goes to your hat. And then it knocks your hat off. And so you get at least one lethal hit that you can avoid. And you make a save at the end of the fight in order to, you know, see if your hat survived. Or you can loot hats from dead enemies. And so I really like the hat rule in that game because it gives you your characters. You know, I don't like games where your characters just die instantly, right? You know,
yeah.
So unless it's like a, you know, a peasant funnel thing. But I don't like characters that are too survivable. So, like, finding that sweet balance of survivability is going to be tough. But that's what I'm thinking of. But here's the elevator pitch. Dungeons exist closer than you think. They are created by the ghosts of better futures, haunting places of power. They trap anyone caught in them, forced to relive an unending present, unable to die or change. You've seen the past. You've seen past the lie. Can you escape the lost future? This is a game of modern fantasy, taking the tropes of old school fantasy adventuring and placing them in a modern day setting. The dungeon doesn't exist to hold loot. It exists to reveal the story. Every dungeon has its own story, and exploring them helps advance the story of the player characters. Characters can gain unnatural powers, but they are motivated to explore because of their personal story. Their attunement to the unnatural gives them an edge when they face unreal adversaries, but every challenge is life-threatening. Labyrinth of Lost Futures is a game for weird dungeon crawling with cell phones and guns. Teleport to a parallel universe of endless suburbs thanks to a cursed VHS tape. Fight cryptids in a cursed trailer park. Climb a skyscraper trapped in an endless temporal loop while dodging heavily armed mercenaries. Gain unnatural powers and find occult artifacts. Change the future by defeating the ghosts of the past. So,
yeah.
That's sort of what I'm focused on for the core game. And then, like, have adventures... I really like also like Merkborg and these other games that can do like adventures in a brochure or like two pages.
Mm-hmm.
So do like adventure theme like a VHS tape and like have it like the core stuff, like the map of the little scenarios on the front cover, and the back has a little flavor text or all the text of all the rooms in it or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Then the modern Mega Dungeon, which would use this system, is it's a setting where basically there's a pocket universe that's been around for hundreds of years, and every generation different people find them and they use this place because it would be like the fountain of magical power. Like magic is real, but you can only learn it in that place. You can go back to Earth and, you know, use magic, but like you have to learn it from there. It only works. You can only be sort of initiated in magic in this place. And so like in the 1800s, you know, utopian groups would move there and set up communes, and then horrible things happened. They all died. But then like 20 years later, people, Victorian, you know, occultists would come in and they're like, the surface is kind of fucked. Let's dig down and start over. And they would build like, you know, a subway system with like portals to every continent on Earth. And then something horrible happened. They mostly died out. And then like after that, in the 20th century, a group came down and started building bunkers, and like endless hallways of concrete and like,
so it's like building in Florida now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just waiting to be wiped out by the next storm.
Yeah. And start over. Okay. So it's just like a cyclical thing, mm-hmm, of all these people thinking, oh, well, I can use magic and like save the world or become owners of the world. And then like after so many years, something horrible happens. So like the idea is the players come into it to hear. And like there would be a town that's sort of in the penumbra between Earth and the Mega Dungeon, that is sort of, so it exists in both places kind of. And so that's, and so like an entire economy is built up of people who understand this stuff, and they and so there's explorers that just make a living looking through the ruins of, you know, stuff from the last 200 years. But the further down they go, the newer it is and the weirder it is. Like the each one gets weirder and weirder until you go like, you know, 12 levels down, you find like you open a door and it's like a summer field with the sun again. You're like, I'm like 1,000 feet underground. What the fuck is going on? Mm-hmm. You know? And the idea is I want a campaign setting where it's like 360 degrees. You start in it, you have a reason to go to find something in the Mega Dungeon to do something, you know, but like you can go in any direction and there's something there for you to encounter. And so you could like, instead of like this session, we're going to this dungeon, we're clearing it out. We're like, all right, let's wander around. All right, we're going to a dungeon. Oh, this seems too dangerous. Let's go back and let's go this direction. And so it's more very focused on exploration, you know.
Yeah.
And I want that 360 degree environment. So players have that option of going whatever direction they want. I also want the Metroidvania thing too, where like they go wander around in the lower levels, the easier levels, and they find something that's very dangerous or something they can't pass. And then they later on find some magic item or power or whatever that lets them get through that area. And so like they have to backtrack. Like I want backtracking in the game, because that's something we haven't really done in RPPR games, is a lot of backtracking. Like if there's a dungeon, we deal with it that session and then it's done with. We don't revisit it. But like, I like the idea of it's a lived place that has a history, and it changes over time. And so there's a different reason for you to go back. Like the sort of starter dungeon would be like, oh, there's a monster that uses its lair, and you go there and you kill the monster, but it's an undead thing and it comes back after so often. But if you can figure out how to permanently kill it, you could turn it into your own little base, your own home away from home. So like, the players clear it out the first time, kill the monster, but then they encounter it wandering later on. Like, God damn it, we didn't kill that thing. And so they have to research how to permanently kill this thing. And then they finally kill it. And they're like, oh, wait, we can use that lair as our little home. And so they get rewarded for that. And so it have a little progression arc. So those are kind of the main idea. And like the idea is there would be different story lines that would be sort of embedded in the Mega Dungeon. Like one would be like, oh, you've been cursed with something horrible, you need to find a cure. Or like you watched the wrong VHS tape, you got, you know, a year before the thing kills you or whatever, you need to go down and find a cure or banish the monster or whatever. Or No, there's something at the very bottom of the dungeon that's going to eat the world unless you go all the way down. Are you a bad enough dude to save the world? or like the fucking One Piece thing. There's an incredible treasure down there somewhere. We got to find it. And then like players can sort of like keep exploring at their own pace. And, you know, there would be recurring characters. And but like I want to try that kind of campaign. Like, now that I've described the basic premise of what I'm working on, like what are your, do any ideas pop in your head of like what you would want to see in this kind of thing?
Backtracking is interesting because that's the thing that most video games fail to make interesting.
Yeah.
Like including Metroidvania games, in which it's a pivotal core function of them. But yeah, that'd be interesting to try and translate into the TTRPG space. I've seen some games like Earthborn Rangers board games that make it kind of interesting because they do, every section essentially has an appoint crawl and ecology. So there's decks for every area that has like certain types of animals that show up and they have certain, and certain types of events, but they are dealt with using the little token system of the board game. And so what happens is that when your characters explore, you see what's in the deck. And so that you prepare better when you go back.
Oh, yeah.
And so that is, that is an interesting thing for me that I've seen in the board game space that makes, backtracking more interesting because you're like literally gaining expertise in the area in order to traverse it faster and with more, more abilities.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I really like that idea because I think one of the differences between like, modern day games set in the modern day versus like, fantasy D&D type games is like how characters gain power. And often in D&D, right, like characters just gain a universal power that's good, like a magic sword or a new spell or wand or whatever. And it's just better. They're just cooler and they can do better things. But in like modern day games, they get the thing that lets them solve their plot better, but that's it. You know, they get a key to a specific door they need to unlock, or they get the one magic item that can kill the monster, but they don't get like a +5 shotgun of beheading. You know, they don't like Batman figures out how to defeat, you know, what the Joker's plot is, you know, not like he gets +5 batarangs, although they do that too in Arkham Asylum, so maybe a little bit of each. But like, I really like that progression through being able to solve specific problems. I do know I want to do like something to where like the idea is there's going to be main levels, which are like hubs, you know, and well, there's a surface level, which is like the hex crawl. And then like once you start going below ground, there would be like hubs, and then like you can add on sections, which are specific little dungeons, you know? And I want to have like some kind of a way to modify existing sections where like this is fully populated or the default, or like someone else has been here and like went halfway through and fucked it up, you know, killed half the monsters, but they died and, you know, their bodies are here, or like they, you know, other explorers, there's other adventurers going through this area like you, and but like different states of it, like this place has been abandoned for, you know, like how to have a dungeon that's been modified or it's been overrun by a ravening horde of undead monsters or something like that. Like, but yeah, I don't know.
It sounds like you'll need to figure out some way to both pace information and to encourage people to leave things unfinished because, you know, gamers are typically completionists. So if they go to the place, they are going to try and complete the dungeon, whether you want them to or not, unless there's a very clear, hey, there's a clock on this. You can't stick around here and do this forever, or you don't know how to deal with this thing. If you stick around here, you're going to die or so something to keep them moving. And then simultaneously a reason to go back. So you're going to have to figure out some sort of method of both setting a clock on whatever these movements are, and then apportioning out and pacing and rationing the sort of mystery in a place. Because if it's all solved and I just have to kill more, I don't know, Soviet wave bats or whatever are coming at me, I'm not that interested. But if like, oh, we finally learned how to open that door that can't be opened. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, we got to deal with the Soviet wave bats again. They almost killed us. Then that is like a more interesting backtracking narrative mm-hmm. of, well, I've established this enemy. They've damaged me before. We barely escaped. Mm-hmm. Now I have to go back. That is a narrative arc, not just I physically have to schlup mm-hmm. back through these hallways and go get this thing, which I imagine would be unsatisfying to most people. Yeah.
That's a really good point. Yeah. And this is something like, I do want to run a playtest campaign of this, but I need to build... It turns out you need a lot of shit for this kind of campaign, mm-hmm. like written in advance. So I'm slowly working on it. I do know for information, though, like there's going to be two books for the campaign. One is the Game Master's. Here's all the shit. Here's all the maps, all the info. But then there would be a player book. So like I mentioned, there's a town that is between Earth and the Mega Dungeon. And there's an economy of people that have been, you know, exploring it and looting it and like using it for a long time. And so like the idea is like there would be how you start the campaign is like the player characters are just like normal, like investigators or urban explorers, or they find a cursed thing or they deal with a monster and they get teleported into the Mega Dungeon. They don't know where the fuck they are. And they get to the surface and there's like one safe, there's like a little haven, a safe place they can go. So they see, you know, lights in the distance. They go there and there's people there and it looks like a fucking Waffle House or something. It's like a diner. And like, it's the portal into the town. And they're like, oh, hey. And everyone there is like kind of not surprised to see them. The player's like, what the fuck's going on? You know, everyone's like, okay. Look, we know you're scared. We know you have a lot of questions. Just come with us. We'll feed you. We'll give you a place to sleep for the night. And, you know, once the players sleep or eat and whatever, they say, all right, we're going to take you to the library. They're like, what? And so they take him into a room and there will be a book. And so the GM at this point puts a book on the table and says, this is the book. The first rule is don't tell the cops you can go back to Earth, but don't tell the cops. It won't end well for you. You know, the cops, they won't, you know, then it'll have like a list of rumors. Like, here's what we know about the history of this place. Here's what we know about this place. Here's what we know about these things wandering around, you know, these undead monsters and these other things, you know, and, it's just like a 50 or 60 page thing of plot hooks. And like, there'll be incomplete information, false rumors, but there'll be also useful information. And it'd be like, oh yeah, there's rumors of a giant treasure and here's how you get started looking for it. Here's rumors of a thing that can cure any disease, you know, or make you ageless, or like a magic weapon that can do whatever. And it'll explain like these, if you find this kind of item in here, bring it up to here. We'll pay you $100 for each one of these things you find, you know? And so you can just make a living here. And, you know, and so like, that's the main plot device of the campaign is the players are flipping through that. Oh, I hear there's like this group of people that are still building new tunnels in the bunker and that we can go talk to them and learn their secrets. Yeah, sure. You know, if you want to get you'll have to go befriend them and earn their trust. But like, yeah, you go this way. And yeah. And so like, that's the idea for the information angle, at least. Like having like clocks or something about recurring threats, like, the Soviet wave bats, you know, like maybe there's players are so tired of being harassed by them in a random encounter. It's like, let's go find the nest and like deal with that. And then you could just take it down as like a side mission. And then you see that's progression too. Like the characters aren't necessarily more powerful, but they've progressed. They've removed an obstacle. That's interesting. I think, like, the thing is, I've been reading other, not just Stonehill, but other Mega Dungeons. They're very like location focused, but and they'll put in plot threads that you can kind of pull on, but they're kind of incomplete. They just describe this place and all the people living in it, or the creatures and monsters and traps. And I want something more narrative focused because I want to interweave these narratives. I mean, the main thing is like, why would you go in this insanely dangerous place? And so you need to come up with a lot of motives. So I figured money, health, or, you know, heroism, you know, saving.
So you're not going to add like a lore reason of like, we are the,
oh, there's going to be like
a dungeon divers and this is how we make a living, or.
Well, there would be like unofficial, there wouldn't be like a full guild, but like I said, there's an economy and there are people doing it. But like, I'm just trying to think if I'm overlooking any other reasons why that would be fun to play as like, this is the why I'm going through this dungeon. You know, like what, if you were playing this campaign, like what kind of motivation would interest you most?
I don't know. It seems kind of in choat currently, but like there's the way Heart did it where like your reason for going down there is your, basically your character class.
Oh yeah.
Like you can sort of,
yeah,
seek design symmetries with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're,
I did like Heart. I need to read. Yeah. They're doing a campaign for it.
Yeah. If you're the Incarnadine, you're a worship the God of debt and you're going down there cause you're fucking in debt. Like yeah. If you're the dead chaser, whatever that guy is, mm-hmm. like you're going down there cause you're already dead. Like, yeah. But all your shit's related to that.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't know why the witch made of bees wanted to go down there, but
There's a hive down there. You got to go find the queen. I mean,
if you're a witch made of bees, you can do whatever you want.
That's, well, you got to do what the queen wants.
Yeah, that's my, that's my statement on that.
Yeah. I do have that because like I want to have like a character who's cursed or a class or an ability where they have powers, but they're getting more and more fucked up and weird and unnatural. And to the point where they can't go back to Earth, like they just die or they start dying, you know, losing hit points or whatever if they go to Earth. And only this place that's kind of magical can kind of sustain them. And like, I do want to like have like lots of people, like if you stay there long enough, you just become weird and unnatural and you stop aging. So there's going to be like a lot of weirdos, you know, in isolated bunkers doing shit for 50 years. It only makes sense to them. You know, one of the, like, I've been talking with Chris about it some, and one of the first ideas is like, it's like a you know, Soviet bunker, but it's, they figured out how to make mannequins into servants, you know, little automatons, but now they're gone and there's only like, you know, mannequins in Soviet army uniforms, you know, Red Army uniforms from the 40s, you know, walking around. Well, they kind of move when you're not looking. So, good luck with that. But yeah.
Another thing you could do with the backtracking mechanic is like, and again, not to harp on Earthborn Ragers and like the card mechanic, but like if all rumors are true, but just not at the same time, like, everything in that book can happen and there's stats for it. And I've statted it all out in this D6 or D10 list.
Yeah.
But I'm going to roll it four times when we get there or draw four cards or something of that nature. Like you could do. Because then there's reasons to go back because you haven't seen all the stuff that can happen there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'd like that. I'll have to keep that in mind. But yeah, so the mega dungeon thing, I'll do piecemeal. Like the main thing right now is getting the core rules out first and trying to do an Ashcan, you know, print on demand version. It's like 60 pages, you know, and then once I get that out and kind of stable, then start statting out the dungeon itself and probably release, like there are three main levels right now. Like there's the surface level, which is like 100 square miles of just this weird gray wasteland where it's overcast and it looks like kind of like a barren, you know, like kind of the moors or, you know, scrubland. And there's weird pillars and ruins of past buildings that other people have tried to colonize this place. And that'd be the hex crawl thing. And then like the second level is the subway, which is like modeled after the tube, you know, but obviously, you know, horrible monsters. And then the third level is the bunker, and do a book for each one of those at first, or at least as a major section of it. And then there will be more levels below that, but that's when it gets weird. So I want to get those first three levels done first before I proceed, you know, to the real, because like the idea, I do have an idea of like at the bottom of the dungeon, there's something horrible, you know, Azoth Author, something, you know, something in prison and something bad. And yeah, but like, you know, I just like the idea of history too. Like this thing was built in the 20s and then like everyone was killed in a horrible occult ritual. And then some people found it 30 years later and they lived in it for a while. And then they got killed by something horrible. And then some drug dealers used it as a hideout for 5 years. And then they fled to parts unknown. And now these weirdos live here. So like, yeah.
I mean, you could layer it like by decades, you know,
yeah.
Because it was going to be the case whenever anybody plays in the past, but you're never really playing in the past. You're playing in ideas of the past.
Yeah.
And ideas of the past aren't static. They don't stay the same. You know, and it sounds like you're kind of going for a paleo future.
Yeah.
Ontology vibe. So Yeah, oh. the 1920s utopian, you know, used to look like this, but now it's like some weird gangster flapper,
yeah,
like flattened simulacrum nonsense because it's been hooked up to the perverting waves of 10 layers of collective unconscious on top of it. Yeah.
Like, I do want some, like, like areas that are kind of, like, bespoke and, like, unique. And, like, one of the things I found was, like, a 1930s Popular Mechanics magazine that talked about this idea coming from Japan, where they have a lot of earthquakes. So they're going to build, instead of a skyscraper, a depth scraper, which is, like, they so they have this image, concept art of, like, imagine a massive
so the light. City from Evangelion where you're like
I know it's like down. It's like a big cylinder, like a big pit basically with apartments all around a central like Asia. I was like, that's got to be its own like fucking arcology where everyone's cut off from everyone else and gotten weird and like weird little tribal things and that kind of thing. But yeah,
love the premise that like our skyscraper is gonna be safer from earthquakes if we bury it on all sides in the earth on one of the world's most active fault lines.
Well, yeah, they didn't actually build it. So.
Good.
But I love the idea of it. The concept art is so cool. Yeah, I definitely want to do a lot of paleo future shit. Like the stuff that was never built, you know, but like was proposed and abandoned for practical reasons. That'll be fun. So yeah, a lot of it is like, you know, putting all these things in here and like the players can try and figure out the backstory of this weird thing they found, or they could just like, oh, that's weird. Let's keep going, you know, and see what really interests them. You know, that's why I like want to have some ideas on like, instead of just fighting everything, have like more mechanics for like traverse, like kind of like, yeah, like Heart like has for traversing dangerous environments or negotiating with different factions and, you know, dealing, you know, not just killing everything you encounter, because that you're going to run out of ammo well before you run out of enemies. Yeah, the other thing is also, yeah, no governments, like there's no Delta Green down there, there's no SCP Foundation, there's no big everything. There is actually a canon, there will be like a backstory of how, yeah, there's a group of wizards that keep all the governments out because they're paranoid of losing control of this place, so, and they don't really control it anymore, but they hate the government, so yeah. Anarchist wizard cabal, basically.
Crustpunk wizards.
Yeah.
Ruining your couch.
Yeah. Well, I'm calling them literally the curators because their whole deal is like looking around the world for occultists and weirdos they think are interesting and inviting them into the dungeon to see what they do with magic.
I learned magic to kill people because someone told me to take a shower. I won't tolerate that.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, I'll definitely have like something to playtest at Gen Con in terms of the core rules. I'm making, you know, progress on getting that basic stuff. Like Merkborg rules are only like 20 pages. I don't have to write like a whole lot for what I'm envisioning and then just kind of build on from the core engine. That's sort of what I'm doing. Oh, yeah. Also for like art and illustration. I really like the aesthetic of Barberbeat album covers, and Vaporwave album covers, and really get into that kind of like zine photo bashing stuff of like taking photos and altering them and, you know, taking public domain stuff and layering and compositing it and that kind of thing. So, that's what I'm doing for the aesthetics. Obviously I'll use Patsy's art 'cause he is an amazing artist, but, yeah, that's kind of where I am with that. I do, like, I found a really good resource, the Historical American Building Survey, which is a federal government thing where they go and document historic buildings before they're torn down. And they've been doing this since, like, the 30s. And with really good cameras, professional photographers, like, architectural photographers, meeting format things. And the thing is, the Library of Congress has been scanning all of these photos and putting print resolution images available online for anyone to use. So there's lots of really good architectural photos I could use. For the ruins. I like the whole zine and the aesthetic, right, of RPGs. And so I want to do more of that. But... let's see if there's any other game design things I forgot to mention. Let's see, Metroidvania Town, separate book, Real World Incorporation. Let's see here. Modular and customizable. Like, the idea is, like, the only the main hubs are canon. All the other little dungeon sections are, like... They're, like, I'm not going to map out the whole thing like a fantasy mega dungeon. There's not going to be, like, here's how you get from point A to point B. There's going to be map, like...
To a point crawl.
Yeah, yeah, more of a point crawl. Like, there will be individual sections that are, like, fully mapped out, but, like... Like, the idea, the surface level is going to be like 100 square miles. And, like, the subway is going to be also very big. And so it'll have, there'll be like subway maps, but they'll be like stylized, like a subway map, you know. And the bunker level is just going to be a maze of, you know, concrete tunnels and hallways and rooms. So the idea is you can customize it as you see fit and make a, and add in your own little dungeon to add in your own little weird guys or monsters or whatever. You love a good weird guy, little guy. Yeah, but I really like the idea of dungeon crawling with like modern day stuff thrown in, because like also a lot of games like Merkborg have started experimenting. There's a lot of like dungeon crawl classic modules that have weird you know, guns and you know, the other people I've seen like there's Game Liminal Horror that will have like dungeon crawling stuff, but like in a trailer park or in an abandoned house. Yeah, that's a lot of potential here. So yeah. But yeah.
5e compatible wins.
Oh yeah, I forgot. It's gonna be totally 5e compatible.
Yeah, good. And, all right, cool.
Yeah, it'll be we'll have a Baldur's Gate tie-in somehow.
You and the Adventure Time game.
Oh god, yeah. Yeah, it's I mean, it's a better fate than some settings.
It's
fantasy with swords and shit. Like,
they had a unique system.
Yeah, that's right. They did.
And then they just set it on fire. And then they're like, no, 5e instead.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
5e instead.
I mean, for me, when I think of the worst 5e compatible thing, I remember the Hellboy one, because I was like, God damn, that makes no sense.
Oh, God. Do they ever? Yeah. They never do.
No. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I have.
I just wanted to get the 5e compatible win comment out of the way, because it's like the first comment when you say you're going to do anything at all ever. Yeah.
Well, it's a new IP. It's not, and I'm not taking an existing thing.
I'm not excluding new IPs when I say that. Yeah.
I'm going to do a game about people who play games on a live stream and have a big audience. Yeah, it's called
the ticket pricing minigame. Is really
the ticket pricing minigame? Yeah. yeah, that's where the real number. The number bloat there is a little high. We need to fine tune it. but yeah, I just wanted everybody at RPPR to know like what I'm working on. There are illustrations and little teaser text on the RPPR Patreon. When I get, I eventually want to get a playtest draft out to backers of the Patreon. And then eventually the public, to sort of fine tune the combat rules and everything like that. But I want to get like, I need to write a tutorial adventure. I realized, that like highlights how the combat die system works. And so once I do more playtesting, we'll do another episode and you know, after you get to play it and, we can talk more, authoritatively about it. But, yeah, that's where I'm at. And then, hopefully by Gen Con, I'll be able to do at least one playtest there. So if you're, Caleb and I are going to Gen Con. We have they've not like confirmed the times and places for our panels that we have submitted. So when they do that, I'll make a big announcement and make a big stink about that. But we'll be there.
Sometime, whenever the schedule allows us.
Yeah. It'll be great. It'll be just like old times, only more people and it'll cost more.
Yay.
But yeah, that's all I have for right now. I just want to keep everybody sort of in the news or up to date on this stuff. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Thank you all so much for supporting RPPR. Don't forget Delta Green Dead channels.
Oh, thank you.
And have it on Open Game Design. Mm-hmm. Where there's are there some playtest rules for Red Markets yet? Or
there's a few up there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so if you want to see what the latest on, and also an entire fucking Red Markets playtest campaign that was very good.
Yeah, working on it still to get it up. But
well, there's okay.
Quite a few left. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you got a lot to look forward there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
quick test. Hey, getting levels. All right. Sweet, sweet levels. Could be a little louder, but yeah. Caleb, do you want to talk?
I am also, I presume, getting levels.
Yes.
So I cannot see the levels. They are an academic concept for me.
All right. Good enough.